Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this evening. Our telephone lines are open. They're toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight, and you're welcome to give us a call. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We just pray that you would use the program tonight, that we might be a blessing, that we might be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Lord, if somebody's searching for truth, I do pray that you could use what we talk about tonight to point them to the one in whom all truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might find him as their personal Savior. Thank you again. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we'll get right into our program here tonight. First off, before I forget, one of the things that hearing about a little bit here today, just before coming in, they were talking updates on the situation up in Wisconsin, where that gunman had gone into a Sikh temple, and I believe about seven people, I guess at least, have been killed, and I don't know about numbers of wounded. And a curious thing about the situation up there is that the report that I heard about, about 10 o'clock, just about an hour or so ago, they said that they still had helicopters in the air circling around the area and still had some other areas cordoned off where they are still doing some searches and all. So I just pray that that situation soon be resolved and that they can identify some of the reasons for what took place there. And certainly that's a thing that very concerning to many people. And I know that a number of places, Sikh temples around different parts of the country, they stepped up security and all of that. So I do pray for the situation there and that they'd be able to sort that out. Also, I'm trying to think of other things going on that might bear mentioning here this evening. The situation in the Middle East certainly is not getting any better. And I've been noticing some things that, here's an interesting thing that just happened recently. This is something that I just saw on an Israeli site, that a group of Salafists, and Salafists are essentially Muslim fundamentalists, they clashed with the Europe, or not European, Egyptian troops in the Sinai Peninsula, attempting to crash some armored personnel carriers across the border into Israel. They're near the Gaza Strip. And they killed about 15 Egyptian troops. And they believe that one of the things that they were attempting to do was to kidnap some Israeli soldiers. I guess what happened is when they came after or came across the border, they actually blew up the Egyptian post on the Egyptian side. That's where they killed about 15 Egyptian troops. They injured a number of others, kidnapped an unknown number. They seized two armored personnel carriers and heavy weapons, and then they tried to push across the border into Israel. The Israeli Air Force, I believe, destroyed at least one of the armored personnel carriers, and the Israeli Defense Forces were able to put a stop to the incursion there. So that part of the world is certainly not getting any safer. The other thing that's happening there right now, reports out of the Middle East suggest that the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia are actually making preparations for a war against Iran. And this really hasn't been much on the front burner in terms of the major news media here. We spent a lot of time talking about Chick-fil-A and, you know, same-sex marriage last week, things of that nature. And we talked about on the radio here both our Friday night or Friday afternoon program live with Pastor Al Fridays at 1:30 to 2 o'clock here on AM 1220, The Word. And we also talked about here in our Sunday night program. And so some of these things, and you're caught up with the presidential elections and things like that, but they're suggesting that the timeline for a joint operation between U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabia, and some other countries going after Iran's nuclear facilities is now been brought down to weeks rather than months. And we've been talking about this off and on all year since early spring, at least. And they've had various things happening. They've pushed it back a time or two, but they're really running into the situation that if they don't act soon, Iran is going to be able to have some of their things fortified and hopefully survivable against a variety of attacks. And you say, well, why is Saudi Arabia involved? Well, Saudi Arabia is the Saudi kingdom is a Sunni kingdom, Sunni Islam. And the Iranian regime is a Shiite regime, Shiite Islam. And the two fight against each other. They both believe that the other is wrong and they're right. And so they have been at odds with one another. And that's part of what's going on in Syria right now. The Saudis and some other Sunni groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and places like that, have been backing the rebels in Syria. And then Iran has supported the government of Syria, and has partly through Hezbollah as well, which is a Shiite group. And so there's clashes between Sunni and Shiite. And of course, Israel's involved because Iran has repeatedly, and even more so in recent days, has said that it's their duty to destroy. It's the duty of the Arab nations. It's the duty of Muslim nations, I should say, to destroy Israel and to drive all the non-Muslims out of the Middle East. And of course, Iran would like to be the ones doing it. They would also like to drive the Saudis out of control of Mecca and Medina. They'd like to control that themselves. And a lot of things going on there. But the concern that people have is because of the various prophecies in the Bible, Ezekiel 38 and 39 in particular, of an attempted invasion of the Middle East on the part of Iran, along with what would appear to be Russia and a number of other groups. And coincidentally, and of course, I don't believe it's coincident, but coincidentally, Russia is allied right now with Iran in some of their activities, and also in alliance with Syria, the Syrian government. And there's a number of Russian naval ships that have gone into the Eastern Mediterranean, and they brought some Russian Marines in recently. So it's certainly a situation that bears watching over the next few weeks, and we can see what's might potentially happen over there. Well, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We can talk about that. We can talk about other things. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And we have, I believe, Nancy in Euclid on the line. And Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al, thank you so much for taking my call. And I would like to reference Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee,
right,
and curse them that curse thee. I'm talking about Israel, and all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, in lieu of Governor Mitt Romney's visit very recent visit to Israel and a very strong speech, you know, supporting Israel. We all know that Obama has not even gone to Israel, and he shows definitely overall he does not show support of Israel. It's sort of accepted, although once in a while he'll throw out a crumb and act like he's in, you know, support of Israel. But Romney does seem to, he seemed to really connect with the people and give a very, you know, strong vote of support for Israel. And they would, we would, he was sort of speaking as if he was president. He said, we will support you, you know, with some kind of Iranian confrontation. Mm-hmm. Now, some people have accused him of flip-flopping, and he has changed his position. You know, he was originally in Massachusetts, he appeared to be pro-choice. Now he is the pro-life.
He's on, yeah, he's on the
position.
Pro-life side.
And then also,
yeah.
With he was more in favor of gay marriage. Now he, you know, says that he's supporting traditional marriage. Now, do you think that Romney is totally sincere? I mean, you don't know if he's just doing this to get voted in. I mean, he seems very sincere, but I've heard some criticism of him, and I would just like your take on that. Thank you.
Well, okay, sure, and I appreciate that. And you know, when you get right down to it, Mitt Romney, like President Obama, is a politician. And, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Politicians, by the very nature of the beast, they want to get elected and they want to tell people what they think people want to hear. Mm-hmm. But having said that, there are politicians that have core values, core beliefs that shape you know, their views and shape some of the things. And I've heard, I don't know 100% for sure, but I've heard that Mitt Romney actually worked with the current prime minister of Israel, Netanyahu, one time. Netanyahu actually came from this country. He emigrated to Israel and became an Israeli citizen. And be that as it may, Mitt Romney, I guess, has a very good relationship with him that's existed prior to his trip to Israel. And in all fairness, President Obama did go to Israel when he was candidate Obama. As president, he's not been to Israel. He's been to a number of the countries around Israel, not all of them, but as candidate, he did go there. And of course, Romney as candidate is going there, and more likely than not as president, he would go there fairly early on as well. I think part of what Mitt Romney was attempting to do in his trip to Israel was to shore up the expectations or perspective that they might have, perceptions that they might have of what the United States would be like under him, because you know, the way our political system is set up, when you know different parties take control of the White House and the Congress, you know, it affects our foreign policy oftentimes considerably. And yes. So for other countries, it's always kind of, you know, they're always kind of leery of what's going to happen if a new guy comes in. And so he was there, you know, letting them know that as president, he would be supportive of Israel. And he also went up to Poland and reinforced his support for the Polish people as well, the nation of Poland. Getting back to what you started with in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, that's a passage there, and God calls Abraham out of his country there, and he's going by the name Abram right there, and he makes several promises to him. They make him a great nation and bless him and make his name great, and he would be a blessing. And then he said he would bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. And he's, when he says that, he's actually speaking of the nation that he's going to make a great nation out of Abraham. And then he says in thee, at the end of verse 3, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And it was kind of interesting. We actually had Bruce Musselman at our church this morning, and he was referencing this very passage during the message this morning, and showing how all of these things really came to pass. You know, God took Abraham's descendants and certainly made a great nation out of them, and then made his name great. In fact, the Arab peoples, they're descended from Abraham, just like the Jewish people. And the name of Abraham is revered by them. It's revered by the Muslims. It's revered by the Jews. And it's revered by the Christians. So the name of Abraham has certainly been made great. And he was a blessing because he obeyed God. As Paul put it in the New Testament, he obeyed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He obeyed God and he followed God's direction. And then, of course, we see the blessing and cursing, and that was evident in the way people treated Abraham himself, but also in the way that people treated the covenant children of Abraham, because the covenant that God enters into with Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12 was confirmed not with all of Abraham's children. Abraham, of course, had Ishmael first by his wife's handmaid, and then later on, after his wife Sarah, then of course had Isaac, and then after Sarah died, Abraham took another wife and had sons and daughters from his third wife. But it was Isaac that God confirmed the covenant with, and then of course Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And it wasn't Esau that the covenant was confirmed with; it was confirmed with Jacob. And then, of course, from Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the descendants of Ishmael, the descendants of Esau, as well as some of the descendants of some of Abraham's other kids, many of them, you know, became famous and prominent, and Job would be one of them. Job, through his mother's side and then through his father's side, on one side he was a descendant of Esau, on another side he was a descendant of Ishmael. And Job was one of the greatest men of the East, if you look at the book of Job. And you see that Job was a very wealthy man. He was actually ruler of a small, I guess you could call it city-state type area. He was actually a type I don't know if you call him a regional king or something to that effect. The interesting thing is you look at that and follow down the descendants of Jacob, you can see this statement that God would bless them that bless and curse them that curse follows all through that lineage. And we can see other examples of that. In fact, there's at least four passages in the Old Testament that touch on that. Here, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'm not going to go through all of them, but Genesis chapter 27 and verse 29. If somebody wants to look these up later, that's Genesis 27 and verse 29. And then Numbers chapter 24 and verse 9. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 9. And then Obadiah chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Obadiah. And verse 15, Obadiah chapter 1 there, verse 15, you can see this same thing echoed. And when you get into, for instance, Numbers and Obadiah in particular, you can see that this promise to bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee is given to the Jewish people. And so we understand that carries down. You can see that in recent history because the United Kingdom, Great Britain, they had the opportunity to reestablish the land, the Jewish homeland, and as was originally set up under the Balfour Declaration in the early 1900s, they set aside a Jewish homeland that included all of modern-day Israel, including the Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, and the West Bank territories, as well as all of what is now the country of Jordan. And due to Arab pressure and rioting, they gave up land for peace and they took away three quarters or so of it and formed the country of Jordan to be another Arab homeland. And then, of course, they attempted to slice away other portions of the sliver that was left to be the Jewish homeland. And by the time the United Nations took control of the situation following World War II, The Jewish people realized that they weren't going to have anything left because the Arab interests were working, trying to make sure that there would be no Jewish state. And it's kind of interesting, the British, because of turning their hand against Israel, the British Empire, that in the 1800s, they said the sun never set on the British Empire. By the middle of the 20th century, the British Empire had collapsed. And then, of course, we know what happened to Germany when Hitler tried to kill and destroy the Jewish people. 6 million Jews later, we find Germany becomes a defeated country, a divided country for a number of decades. And then, of course, the Soviet Union, which also persecuted the Jewish people heavily, was also suffered greatly. And, of course, the Soviet Union is no more. The Soviet Union broke up. The United States, on the other hand, which among the countries of the world has probably blessed Israel more than any other country, has become the world's sole superpower. I believe God has blessed the United States greatly because of their support of the Jewish people and of the little land of Israel. So, this little statement in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 has continued down through the ages. And I think it's good evidence of the truth of God's word because we can see it working out and we can see God blessing. But I'm heartened to see that we have a candidate in Mitt Romney who at least is giving voice to the fact that if he's president, he will support Israel and the needs that are there. Do you have any further question on that? Did I cover about what you're asking?
Thank you. You really covered it extremely well, and I was just so encouraged by the great turnout. I know it's just wicked years, you know, all these people going to Chick-fil-A, you know, on Wednesday. I'm just wondering, has anybody heard any feedback about some of these mayors that are trying to block Chick-fil-A coming into their towns, you know, that they might have changed their position? I don't know.
I think some of them have been quietly, you know, reversing their decisions because it's, you know, you're looking at a time when people need jobs, and Chick-fil-A brings jobs to the community, it brings tax dollars to the community, and the major media has kind of tried to avoid the situation, or the story a little bit, because you know, they set sales records on Wednesday. In fact, some people believe that they probably set an all-time record for fast food in general sales. I know I went to the one in Montrose, Ohio, which is little area, Copley, Fairlawn, and Bath, Ohio, come together, call it Montrose. And the Chick-fil-A there, when we got there in the evening, about 8 in the evening or so after our Wednesday night prayer time, we went over there, several of us, and we had to wait outside the door to get into the building. And I had a cousin of mine that was in the drive-thru, and I don't know how long she waited in the drive-thru line, because that line was backed up out of the parking lot down the road. So it was kind of heartening to see that, and really it was a stand on freedom of speech, things of that nature. And even surprisingly enough, Mayor Bloomberg of New York City actually supported Chick-fil-A's position because they said it's free speech, even though Mayor Bloomberg himself is for same-sex marriages. So it was certainly an opportunity, and as I said last Friday when I was talking about this, I really commend the people that were there. The staff at the Chick-fil-A was, you know, obviously working under pressure. They were pumping out, you know, chicken sandwiches as fast as they could, I think. A lot of chickens died for the cause of free speech that day, I guess. But they were pumping those things out, and they all remained cool, professional, polite, courteous. And then the customers all were you know, pretty cheerful, and even if they had to wait a few minutes, they weren't complaining, and they weren't trashing the place, and a good time was had by all, I guess I could say. But it was kind of heartening to see that. I don't know what happened with the kiss-in on Friday. I never heard much about that, so I'm going to guess that not much happened, because if there had been much happening, I'm sure that the media would have trumpeted that quite a bit. But and beyond the free speech, of course, it's the, you know, this taking a stand for the biblical definition of marriage. And so I'm glad that they're willing to take a stand. And I was kind of tongue-in-cheek last week saying that if somebody wants to protest Chick-fil-A, they should have went today, you know, on Sunday, because Chick-fil-A's closed on Sunday. And that's another stand that the company takes. And, you know, we have freedom of expression in this country, and it's kind of nice when somebody is willing to take a stand for something they believe in. And really, whether you agree with them or not, you got to support them in that. And but it was good to see that a lot of people were willing to support their stand on the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman. But hopefully that helped out. We're coming up on our break here, Nancy, and appreciate the call there. And again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be taking a break here for just a couple of moments, and we'll be back with another half hour of our program. And I want to give you those telephone numbers. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air, and we'll get to you after our break here. And also, before I forget about it, wanted to mention that probably in about 2 hours from now, we're hopefully going to be putting a rover down on the planet Mars, which is kind of exciting. But stick with us.
You're
we'll
listening
be here
to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study, where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. If you're looking for something unusual, collectibles, military items, coins, jewelry, furniture, just about anything, even the kitchen sink, you can probably find it at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And you can call Frank at 440-237-4393 and let them know you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back to our program here, and certainly if you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you. And we were talking about the fair a minute ago, and we'll get to our callers here in just a second, but out at the Medina County Fair last week, had a great time out there, and I got to talk to a number of people, and just wanted to mention I'll be out at the Cuyahoga County Fair this coming week, and I'll be at the Amazing Grace Mission booth. It'll be located in the First Commercial building there, if you're familiar with the fairgrounds, or as you're coming in the main entrance, you'll see it there. But I'll be out there, I think, so far as I know, I'm going to be out there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, probably from about 11 in the morning till about 3 in the afternoon, and love to meet you if you are out at the fair, at the Cuyahoga County Fair this week. Stop by the Amazing Grace Mission booth, and hopefully I'll get a chance to meet you there. And certainly, if you're looking for ways to help see people come to the Lord, pray for us that we have opportunity. And one of the enjoyable things I like getting conversations with people. I had a great conversation with a guy who was an atheist last week at the fair at Medina County. And what was really fun with him, we were talking about a variety of things. And I said that I believe that God created all things. And he said, well, that's essentially foolish. Where did God come from? I said, well, God has always been. And he expressed that he didn't think that was a very smart position to take. I said, well, where do you think everything came from? He said, from the universe. I said, where did the universe come from? He said, well, the universe has always been. And I smiled and looked at him. I said, so, in other words, you have faith that the universe has always existed and created everything, and I have faith that God has always existed and created everything. I said, sounds like we both have just as much of a faith-based system as the other. And he stopped and thought about what he was saying. He said, yeah, never thought of that before, because it's true. He admitted that he ultimately had a faith-based system as an atheist. So that was kind of fun talking with him. But I enjoy getting the opportunity to talk with people. Of course, we enjoy talking with people right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al here each Sunday night, 11 to midnight on AM 1220 The Word. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we have Jeremiah on the line. And Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
It is an old hymn that's called Showers of Blessing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, we sang that at the nursing home just this afternoon because it had some nice rain last night, so we were singing Showers of Blessing. We thought it'd be a good song.
Also, the book of Isaiah talks about the wings of an eagle.
Right.
That's a good verse. And also, the book of Proverbs talk about a merry heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Good verse.
Like medicine. Yeah.
Right.
And, but let's see if I can find that verse here. So that's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. It says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And that's not the one I was thinking of. I was thinking of Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And we think about that, a merry heart, you know, talking about cheerful laughter, things of that nature. And yeah, it makes you feel good. And when you have you know, things that you can enjoy and feel good about. Yeah, that it really helps you. My wife, as an RN, certainly can attest to the fact that the people in good spirits usually can heal faster and things and somebody who's not in a good frame of mind or good disposition. So, but yeah, you're
also,
absolutely right.
Also, the Bible talks about God give you a sound mind.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, we need to understand that God wants us to think clearly. And that's kind of like when I was talking, I referenced that the guy who was an atheist at the fair. You know, one of the things we try to accomplish with this program and one of the things we try to accomplish talking with people like that gentleman is we need to use some thought, you know, with what we believe and why we believe it. And we need to think about what we're saying. We need to think about what we believe rather than just parrot slogans and things of that nature. Because, for instance, I was trying to get him to think, and I said, so as an atheist, you don't believe God exists. And he said, right. And I said, you don't believe God exists anywhere in the universe, do you? And he said, correct. So I said, so you're confident that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that somewhere out in the Andromeda galaxy, God doesn't exist? And he said, well, right. And I said, well, that's pretty confident, you know, for someplace you've never been. And so, you know, God wants us to have sound minds so that we can think and be able to understand his word and be able to understand what he wants us to do. And that's so we can better communicate our faith with those around us. And a merry heart and a sound mind sure go together pretty good. But
also, the book, parts in the Bible talks about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Different parts of the Bible, like tropical coordinates.
Right, right. And you can look at, we're talking about a merry heart, that certainly talks about, that's emotion there, you know, cheerfulness, happiness, you know, a good spirit there. And we think about that because, you know, the devil certainly doesn't want us to be cheerful. He wants to get us discouraged and all of that. And the emotion that we have, it can be good, it can be bad. And, you know, if we allow God to direct our heart, you know, he can lead us into, you know, having sound, not only sound mind, but a merry heart and having, you know, good positive emotions. Now, I understand that sometimes, you know, something happens, you know, you lose a loved one or something takes place that can cause us to feel down or a little depressed for a little bit. But the problem is when you wallow in it and you don't allow the Lord to bring you through it. And for instance, I knew somebody some years ago that had given or had a stillbirth, and the child had been several years previous that the child had died, had been stillborn, and unfortunately they never got past the sorrow for that child. Now, sorrow for that stillborn child was a natural thing, but they never got over the sorrow. In fact, every year on the anniversary of when that child died, if you did not know better, you would swear that the child had just died. And this is probably, what, I think about 10 years or so beyond the event. And you could say, you know, first year, two, three, you know, three, something like that, you could understand the sorrow. But they never allowed God to work in their heart. They never allowed God to bring the healing in their life. They held on to that sorrow, and they cultivated it. And I can recall that, again, like I said, some 10 years after the event, if you did not know better, you would swear the child just died. And that's an unhealthy emotion. And, you know, that sort of unhealthy emotion can certainly cause problems. And, you know, just like the Bible talks about the root of bitterness springing forth not only defiles you, but others around you. And things like that can happen when we don't keep our emotions under control and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to bring healing where healing is needed, to bring us through grieving processes and things like that so that we can continue on serving him. And so, yeah, it's and the devil, of course, is quick to exploit those types of things.
I had a strange dream last night. Now, I don't watch horror movies or anything like that. And I know the devil can put, like, thoughts in your mind before you go to sleep. Or had, like, a horrible dream. The dream came, like, there was a picture of a house. And then there's a trap door. And the trap door, there's, like, demons and, like, a beast, statue of a beast. And then there's frogs. And then there was, like, a lizard in a pond. And I woke up, and it was, like, a horrible nightmare.
Well, and
can the devil put dreams in your dreams?
And you know, let me approach that from a slightly different way. We know that when you think, you know, we have a network of neurons in the brain, okay? And from if you want to think of it as the hardware side of the human being, of the human mind, you know, the nerves and the nerve endings and the neural networks that are formed in the brain. When you think and when you experience emotions and think about certain things, certain pathways and sections of those neural networks light up, a lot of electrical activity. We can monitor them, you know, with various types of sensors. And in fact, the United States Air Force back in the 80s was developing a helmet that would allow you to think in order to target missiles and fire missiles from the airplane while you're flying, and without touching anything, without saying anything, just the thoughts. And so we know that you can monitor and see things happening in the mind. Now, the devil would certainly know that as well. He's been around a lot longer than we have, studying us a lot longer than we've been studying ourselves. And so it makes sense to think that perhaps if there's a way to externally cause portions of the brain to light up with electrical activity, that perhaps you could help cause various emotions and things like that. And I know that various military research projects have been geared towards that end. And certainly, if it's possible, the devil would know that as well. And through that, could he influence some of your thoughts? I think absolutely the possibility is there. And that's why we need to gird up our minds, so to speak, with the Word of God. You know, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Because how do you guard against an external source that's trying to affect your thinking and affect your emotions? I mean, we know that, for instance, a low pressure system coming through can make people feel a little more depressed. We know that other environmental factors can affect our mood, and certainly if you're going through a cool, rainy period, and then you get a bright, sunny day, people seem to be happier. So we know that moods can be affected from, you know, external conditions. But how do you prevent the devil, for instance, from trying to manipulate your thoughts? You're certainly not going to run around with a tinfoil hat on all the time, you know, with the shiny side out to keep him from zapping in, you know, stray thoughts and things like that. That's not going to work. What you do is you do what the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." You get God's word in your heart, and if you're a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you know, you have to trust God to help you. And so the devil wants to try and afflict us and depress us and all these sorts of things. And if he can find a way to get through, you know, through bad dreams and things that are happening around us, he would gladly do it. But our defense ultimately is in the Lord. And you know, we know, for instance, if you look at Job chapter 1, it's very understandable that the devil tries to afflict people as he wanted to afflict Job. And he was unable to, we find in the book of Job, because God had put a hedge about him. In fact, the devil said as much. He was asked by God where he had been. And he said he had been walking to and fro throughout the earth. And In fact, let me turn over here to Job chapter, Job chapter 1, and it says in verse number 7, or number 6, there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Escheweth is an old English word that means avoids and tries to steer clear of. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." And what the devil is saying here, first off, he's admitting he lied to the Lord. God asked where he came from. He said, "Oh, I was walking up and down the earth and going to and fro, et cetera, et cetera." And we find out he was actually circling around Job and Job's house trying to get at Job, and he was unable to. And so for a believer that's fearful that the devil's going to plant thoughts in their mind and things of that nature, what we need to realize is that if we cling to God and ask God to put a hedge about us, the devil can't get through that hedge. He tried with Job, and he made the attempts, and he challenged God by saying, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And as the course of the chapter goes on, we see that the devil attacks all that Job has, his family, his possessions, and things of that nature. But he could not touch Job directly. Now, Job is an interesting book. It really gives us some tremendous insights into the spiritual battle that's going on around about us. I heard somebody say one time, he was asked about the book of Job, and he said, "Well, I've always considered Job to be nothing more than religious fiction." I thought, well, that's a strange thing. The Bible doesn't present it as religious fiction. It presents it as an account of a man, a real man, that lived and went through and experienced these sorts of things, and God allowed him to go through this, and he blessed Job in the end, actually gave him double what he had before. He had twice of what he lost at the end of the book of Job, and in doing so, he gave us some tremendous insights into how the devil works and how the devil is limited, and also some tremendous insights into how God can have his hand upon his servants and bring them through even tremendous suffering, and still enable them, as Job, to never curse God. And Job never did. In fact, in Job chapter 2, the devil comes before God again and says basically the same thing about Job. And God says the same thing again. You know, he's an upright man. And he said, "Well, you let me touch everything but him. And if you let me touch him, he'll curse you." And Job said, or God said, "Go ahead, but you can't take his life." And so he was on a short leash. He could only go so far. And through it all, Job never faltered in his faith. The patience of Job is incredible, and he was, as I said earlier, referencing Job, he was a descendant of both Ishmael and Esau, and he was a very rich man, and Job was one of the oldest books of the Bible, and it, like I said, Uz was located probably around the area between where Edom would have been, which had been, the south portion of the, I think it's the Negev desert area in modern-day Israel, and sort of on the border with Israel there and Saudi Arabia today would be the area in which Job lived. And so you can Read about Job there and see what he went through, but also the limitations that God placed on the devil. So certainly those were interesting things that we look at. We think about emotions there and, you know, the way that God brought Job through that. But appreciate that, looking at that there. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we can be reached 888-677-9673, and we've got just a few minutes left, so I got to get moved on here. We've got Grover on the line, I believe, and Grover, are you there?
Yeah, Brother Al.
Hi, good evening.
I talked to Dave today.
Yeah, I was going to say I had a friend of yours, and Dave,
yeah,
and a couple of them came out Friday night to our Bible study. Friday night.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. He says somebody you asked was coming out. It's the Berea Fair, right?
Yeah, the Cuyahoga County Fair in Berea. Are you going to be out there this year?
Way, I would come out with you, but I don't have no way. Well, I got a car.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
know if you were going to be out there again this year like you were last year. But, yeah, Dave and some of his friends came to the Friday night Bible study that we have in Richfield. We meet at the Holiday Inn Express there at 5170 Brecksville Road. Pardon?
Did Dave call tonight?
I haven't heard from him, but you're kind of choppy there, Grover. I don't know if we've got a good connection. You're really kind of choppy and everything there. It was difficult kind of making you out there a little bit, but yeah, it's good to hear from you. And, yeah, we had some people visit us last Friday night during our Friday night Bible study, as Grover said, Dave and some others came out and just wanted to give a hello to them and thank them for stopping by. And certainly, if you're listening to the program and you're here in Northeastern Ohio and you like the format of this program, and if you don't have a church home, or if you're going someplace where they really don't believe the Bible and they really don't want to know what the Bible really has to say, I certainly encourage you to visit us for our Friday night Bible study. That's every Friday night at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9 p.m. At the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike, cross. And like I said, we meet there every Friday, and we just do what we do on the radio here. We talk about whatever questions that people have, and I like to remind people that if somebody tells you not to ask questions, that ought to be a red flag. I people, when we first started this program, they said, "You mean you're going to have people call with live questions? What if you don't know the answer?" I said, "Well, I guess I'll just have to figure something out." No, we just try to read the Bible, pray, and trust that the Lord will give us some guidance and some direction. And if it's something that I don't know, hopefully I can at least say, well, I don't know that right now, but I can do some looking into it, and we can be able to find out some more information. But again, let me invite you to visit us at the Cuyahoga County Fair this coming week. I'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 11 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon at the Amazing Grace Mission booth. And if you can't get there during those times, stop by there anyways. Tell them you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And again, don't forget our Friday afternoon program. We've been on for, I think it's about 3 months now or so, for Friday afternoon at 1:30 to 2 o'clock, doing the same thing that we do here each Sunday night. And of course, do pray for the situation in the Middle East. Keep your eye on that. And we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're out of time. Hope you'll join us again next week. Good night, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.